will share a topic that we call Christ, our Passover Lamb. And we're going to read, and we're going to read from Exodus chapter 12. We're going to read up to verse 13, and then we're going to take it from Exodus 13. So Exodus chapter 12, the Bible says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, 'This month shall be the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of persons, according to each man's need, and you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight in the morning, and they shall take some of the blood, put it on the door, on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it, and they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs, they shall eat it." Let's take a moment before we go to the next part. For you to understand the background, the Israelites were in slavery in Egypt for 430 years. They were prisoners, they were slaves, they were under oppression of the Egyptians. But then time had reached for God to deliver the Israelites. And he had given 9 plagues, 9 signs to Pharaoh, but Pharaoh had refused. He had refused to let the Israelites go. And now God said, "Now I'm going to give a final blow, a final plague." And in this final plague, what is going to happen is that there is going to be death of the firstborn. And God is going to use this as an opportunity to rescue the Israelites out of Egypt. And he tells them, "Now this is how you're going to number." You can imagine in their calendar, maybe it was February or March. But then he said, "Now from today, this shall be the beginning of your month." They have to now start counting their days from that day of deliverance. And we are going to understand how Christ is our Passover lamb, because we are seeing the description of the Passover lamb, and how even for you, the day you give your life to Jesus is the day you start to count, this is the beginning of your life. Amen? It's going to be the beginning of your life. And I know everyone that has given their life to Jesus, there was a deliverance from the kingdom of darkness, and you entered into the kingdom of light. So you can see they were told they shall eat the flesh of that lamb roasted with fire and unleavened bread, and they shall also eat it with bitter herbs. And I will understand why it means it. Exodus, okay, so let's go to verse 9. The Bible says, "Do not eat it raw, nor boil at all with water, but roasted in fire, its heads and its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And you shall thus eat it with a belt on your waist, with sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Let us understand what is happening. Every house is supposed to look for a sheep. 1 year old, male, they are going to sacrifice it at twilight, that is in the evening at night. Then they are going to roast that meat. Now, the instructions are this. You eat with your clothes on. Your robes, your belt tied, your stick, your staff in your hand, and sandals on your feet. Why? Because that night, they are going to leave Egypt. Amen? They are going to leave Egypt. So they are being told, be ready. This time, you're going to eat it quickly in haste. But there's something that is very important that they were told. When you kill that sheep, you're going to take blood. And you're going to apply it on the doorpost of your house. Now, you see, in a house, if you come to enter someone's house, you'll find a door, right? The door has four corners. Now, they're supposed to apply the blood on the doorpost. Now, anyone that applied blood, the Bible says at midnight, the angel of the Lord came, and he will come all over Egypt. You can imagine the angel of death is coming. He comes. When he comes and he finds blood over this house, says this is the house of an Israelite. Then what does the angel do? He passes over. The angel will jump over, pass over, and that is what is called the Passover. You'll come and find a house with blood, and the angel will pass over. And after passing over, he will go to another house and finds this house does not have blood. No blood is here. That means this is the house of an Egyptian. And the angel will enter the house and kill the firstborn. And every firstborn child, male, and every firstborn of every animal was killed. And this is what happened. He'll go next house. He finds, is there blood? Then he'll pass over. Is there no blood? Enter and kill. Is there blood? Pass over. Is there no blood? Enter and kill. And this is what? This is judgment. Judgment is taking place against Egypt. And the judgment is against the gods of Egypt and also against the Egyptians. There's something that the Lord says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I pass through the land of Egypt. We jump to Exodus 13. And even before that, what happens is that they were told, after that had happened, they were told, now go to the Egyptians and ask them to give you gold, earrings, their bangles, all their wealth. And at night they went, and the Egyptians were mourning, and when the Israelites passed, they were given everything. You know, those guys had not paid them for 400 years. Huh? They paid them everything in one night. That means that your wealth is available. Amen? That which God has prepared for you is there. It doesn't matter how long the enemy has kept you in bondage. There's a day of deliverance. In one day, he's able to transition you. And remember, they were told, on this day, you're going to count it as the beginning of your month. Amen? The beginning of your... That means it becomes your fast. Or fast. Eh? You know, you can name every day your fast. Bible says us that the path of the just shines brighter and brighter till the morning light, morning day. Every day you can declare today will be a new beginning. You know, whenever we think of numbers, when we say 8, we think of new beginnings because we've just finished 7 and we start 8. And today being the 1st of August, it's a new beginning. You can start again with God. Now, Exodus 13 verse 1 says, now the Lord spoke to Moses saying, consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever opens the womb according to the among the children of Israel, both man and beast, it is mine. And Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt to the house of bondage. For by the strength of the hand brought of the Lord brought you out of this place. No living bread shall be eaten On this day you're going out in the month of Abib, and it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Amorites and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers, to give you a land flowing with milk and honey, that you shall keep this service at this month. Verse 6, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord, and unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days, and no unleavened bread shall be seen among you. And you shall tell your son in that day, this is done because what the Lord did for me when I came up from Egypt. And it shall be a sign to you on your hand and a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. You shall therefore keep this as an ordinance in its season from year to year. So let us look at some of the symbols that were there in the Passover that the Israelites celebrated. Number one, we have said there was the Passover lamb. Now the Passover lamb represents the lamb of the sacrifice, and it had to be a perfect sacrifice, a 1 year old, without blemish, either from the sheep or from the goat, sacrificed, and the blood was sprinkled on the doorpost, and the meat was roasted. They were to eat dressed with their belts, they were to eat quickly with haste, and nothing was to be left. If anything remained, it was to be burned. So the lamb was there to sacrifice and to bring the aspect of the blood. One of the things that you know about the spiritual world is that it recognizes sacrifice. There's a principle called substitution. That means that if you are supposed to be killed, and someone says, no, I will die for you, then it is acceptable. Now, what God had taught them is that they could bring a sheep, and the blood of the sheep will pay the price for the death, that the punishment or the judgment that was supposed to come. Now, as in our times, we know that Christ has become our Passover lamb, and we're going to look at that. Number two that we see symbolism here is they were to eat bitter herbs. I can imagine who can enjoy eating bitter things. Like there are some vegetables that are very bitter, but some people like them. I think here in Bangladesh you like pepper. Yeah? So you like bitter herbs. But the reason they were to eat the bitter herbs was to remind them of the suffering in Egypt. As it is bitter, they are to remember the days they were being beaten, the days they were working hard, the day their children were being thrown into the Nile, there was a lot of suffering that they went through. So the bitter herbs was to remind them of the suffering of Egypt. The third food that they were to eat was unleavened bread. Now, unleavened bread is bread that is made without yeast. Now, if you know bread that is made without yeast, this is bread that is tough. It does not blow. You know? Yeah? Yeah, it's hard, eh? And it is tough. Now, if you have, there are cakes you buy, and by the time you do this, you crush it, there's nothing left. That one has a lot of yeast. Now, yeast is actually a bacteria. And what the yeast does, you can put small yeasts, and those that have made cakes or mandazi, whenever you put a little yeast and you just mix it in the dough, what happens is that it is able to work through the dough. Now yeast, actually, it represents sin. Now, the yeast, they were not supposed to make bread with yeast because they were being separated from the Egyptians. It marked separation from them. Now, another thing that happened that I've already explained is that the Passover also signified judgment to the Egyptians. So the Passover served a number of purposes. Number one, it was a reminder of the deliverance of the children of Israel from slavery in Egypt by God through a mighty hand. So they were to celebrate the Passover to remember how God saved us. How did God save us? We have to be reminded. How did he deliver us? He defeated the Egyptians. How did he defeat the Egyptians? By the sacrifice of the Passover lamb. Number two, it also served as a judgment against the Egyptians.
I tell you, when God starts to deliver you, it is judgment against the works of darkness. And the devil was defeated. He was defeated on the cross, and everything that was made a case against you was nailed to the cross. Another significance of the Passover to the Israelites is that it instituted the consecration of the firstborns to God. From that time, God told them, now that I did not take your firstborn, every firstborn that you have belongs to God. And not just the firstborns, Jesus, God also tells them that Israel, you now become my firstborn. Now, God says to you and me that you are his firstborn through Christ, because Christ is the only begotten Son of God, and he is the firstborn among many brothers. So in Christ, we are the firstborn of God. Now, I don't know about you, but your firstborn is the one that is most important to you. In fact, there are religions that even their first shop, they will never close it. Even if it is in loss, they say, this one was my first. You never forget your first job. You never forget your first breakthrough. Why? Because there was something special that God did in your life that brought that breakthrough. And so he tells them that you have to remember that now the firstborns are mine, belong to God, and you, Israel, become the firstborn of God. The Passover also marked a period of entry into wealth. Remember, there was a significant wealth transfer from the Egyptians. All the money that they had kept, all the Israelites, they gave them. All the gold, all the silver, and they gave them, and they told them, go away, leave our country. And then also the Passover was a point of separation between Israel and Egypt. Now, someone will ask, so why are we talking about the Passover? Are we Jews? Why? I mean, we're in the New Testament. What is the importance of the Passover to us as New Testament believers? One of the things that we know about the law, about the Old Testament, is that the law points us to Christ. Now, everything that you read in the Old Testament is supposed to be an image, is a shadow that directs you to Jesus Christ. Now, Galatians 3 verse 19 tells us that the law was given to reveal sin. When you think of the Ten Commandments, there is none of us that has never broken any single commandment. But it is only the blood of Jesus that is able to purify us from all unrighteousness. Galatians 3:19 says, why then was the law given at all? It was added because of the transgressions until the seed to whom the promise referred had come. The law was given through angels and entrusted to a mediator. Number two, we know also that the law was given as a schoolmaster, as a tutor, until the coming of Christ. That means that we no longer need to be sacrificing sheep for the sake of forgiveness of sins. You know, right now, was it the other Eid where all this, they were sacrificing animals, and they believe that when they shed that blood, it is for their forgiveness. Now, for us, Jesus, when he shed his blood, that sacrifice is once and for all. We don't need to be bringing animals for sacrifice. And that is why, as a Christian, you do not sacrifice animals for your forgiveness. We don't sacrifice animals for the sake of forgiveness. Why? Because Jesus himself was our sacrificial lamb. Number three is that the law is a shadow. The reality is in Christ. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 1. So, anything that you see about the law, it is a shadow. So, what they were doing was just, is like training. This is how you eat it, how you do this, is we are going to show you a shadow of what Christ will be. And the last thing that we learned previous time is that we are in a better covenant with better promises. So, we are not in the old covenant. The old covenant has its promises, yes. God preserved them, but it was conditional on their obedience. In the new covenant, it is conditional on our faith in the obedience of Jesus Christ. What Jesus has done is enough. So you don't need to bring a sacrifice. There is no new sacrifice that you need to bring. The only sacrifice actually that you can bring this time, one is you offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. God expects how you live your life. Based on what Jesus has done, you live your life as a living sacrifice to God. Number two, also we are told with the sacrifices of our lips, our thanksgiving, the fruit of our praise, we also bring thanksgiving and sacrifices to God. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 to 8. The Bible says, your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Here we are talking about yeast. A small yeast leavens the whole lump. Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you are truly a leaven. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. What are we seeing? In the New Testament, Paul went back to the law and understood that the Passover was symbolic of what Christ has done. That lamb that was slaughtered is Jesus Christ. And that's why we have to see how is Christ our Passover lamb. Number one, Christ, he was the sinless lamb of sacrifice that was killed instead of us in the place of judgment. Christ took our place. He took our place. I tell you, when the devil reminds you of your sin, remind him that Jesus died for it. Oh, you did this. You tell the devil, Jesus died for that. Oh, you used to be a thief. You say, Jesus died for my sins. Oh, you used to be a murderer. You killed someone. You say, even for murder, Jesus died for it. Jesus died for our sins. And that sacrifice is enough. Number two is that he brings us deliverance into the from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. I tell you, you are no longer under the control of the devil. There is a kingdom of darkness. There is a kingdom of witchcraft. There are kingdom of wizards and demons and principalities. When they see you, they run away. That means that you have power because you are in the light. If you bring light in a dark room, what happens? The darkness runs away. That means that even a small torch has the power to chase away darkness. Don't say that your light is small. Even a small light has the power to chase away darkness. Amen? So God gives us the power to move from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Number three, Christ becomes our Passover lamb. We receive the consecration of the firstborns of God. I tell you, if you know you're a firstborn child of God, you walk proudly. That means that you don't fear. I mean, they say people are losing their jobs, you smile. Why? Because you know that your father owns all the organizations. All the offices are for God or for my father. He can give me anything that he needs. You have just seen how money comes from another country to this country. You never ask for it. It was looking for you. Why? Because it is looking for the firstborn of the Father. God follows his work. I tell you, if you want to see God provide for you, are you doing the work of God? There is no one who is serving God that remains poor. You're obeying God, God will give you the strategy. It will not just appear miraculously, but God will show you, now, start to do this. Open this shop. Start to invest in this place. Apply for this job. Why? Because God knows where the wealth is hidden. You are consecrated as a firstborn of God. For me, that gives me great joy, knowing that I am the child of a king. And if you are the child of a king, there are things that children of kings don't do. There is a way that a child of a king cannot live. And if you are living like a child not of a king, you need to tell God, this needs to change.
That means that you have not exercised your rights as a firstborn child of God. If your father leaves for you land and you don't go and claim it, you will never own it. So as a child of God, as a son of God, as a firstborn of God, your purpose is to exercise your right. There are things that you have to say. Today is the end. From today becomes the first day in which I walk in my healing. You know, it is your expectation that determines what you get from God. Jesus will always ask people, what do you want? Because the blind man might ask for money. Like the one who of Peter and Paul and Peter and James. He wanted money. The Bible says that he looked at them expecting to receive money. But Peter says, look at us. Silver and gold I do not have. But in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Your expectation will determine what you receive from God. The reason why people say it is not working is because they don't even expect anything from God. You say you are praying, but you're like, anyway, if he answers, it's okay. If he doesn't heal, it's okay. But there was a woman who had an issue of blood. She had spent 12 years. All her money was gone. But she said something. She said, I'm not even going to talk to him. I don't want another prescription. I don't want to pay another money. I don't have it. But she knew something in the word of God. If you read Malachi, it says that the son of righteousness will come with healing in his wings. What that meant is that he knew that there was a garment that the priest used to have. And that if she could just touch the edge, she had a revelation of the word of God. And she knew that there is a point of contact. So your expectation will determine what you receive from God. You're starting a new month. I don't know what is your expectation from God. It's a new beginning. God made it that now 7 months are gone. 8 months are here. The 8th month is here. Today is the first day. And God is like, what is your expectation? Are you just saying in your heart, it will just be the same. My boss is boring. I'm always harassed in the workplace. There's nothing new. Or can you say in your heart, God, today will be the first day of my first month in which my life is going to change. And God is able to do it. You can say, today I am drawing a line. Today marks the day I walk in my healing. Christ, our Passover lamb, marks our separation from sin and impurity. I tell you, when you come to Christ, there's something that he does. He takes away sin. And he does not just cover it. He makes you white as snow. And not only does he take away your sin, he takes away sin's control over you. That means that sinful nature that has power over an unbeliever, it takes it away. And he nails it to the cross. Now what happens is that sin can only control you if you allow it. Can you imagine, even for Cain, God told him, sin is crouching at your door. He's knocking at your door. He desires to have you, but you must master it. You should not let it. That means that the power is with you. You cannot be a slave to sin. You have power. As a child of God, you receive power over sin. That means that believers sin willingly. It is not that I just fell into sin. No, it was premeditated. You know, some people say, I don't know, it was the devil. It was not the devil. The devil has no power over the believer. Number 5 is that we enter into the heavenly blessings that are of Christ and we become heirs of God. I tell you, when it says you're an heir of God, a joint heir of Christ, that means that you carry God everywhere you are. It is you that the world is waiting to see God. People are waiting for pastors, but God is waiting for you. Jesus said, "You are my hands, you are my feet." Saul was persecuting the church, Jesus asked him, "Why are you persecuting me?" That means that we are not separate from God. God is in us, and we are in God. That means that He gives you His thoughts. When you're consecrated to God, the things that you think are what God is telling you to do. I know some people are waiting for bright lights to appear. It might not come. He will come as a small voice in your heart. He will just tell you simple things. Oh, just organize this. Why don't you call your mother? Why don't you check on your child? And that moment you go and look, you find that there was something that you should have done. You see, God will always speak to His people. Nothing should catch you by surprise as a believer. Amen? So Christ is our Passover lamb. So how do we remember the Passover today? We remember the Passover by taking of the Holy Communion. That's why we say that everything is a shadow that points us to Christ. Now, in the New Testament, we look back to Christ. In the Old Testament, they looked forward to Christ. In the New Testament, we look back to Christ, to the cross. So, when we take all the communion, we remind ourselves that Christ died. That He was the sheep. He was the Lamb of God that was crucified and for the forgiveness of our sins. And because of that, we take our firstborn status. Number two, you must know your rights. I tell you, take authority. You wake up with a bad dream, cancel it in the name of Jesus. Don't accept it. Know your rights as a child of God. Just say, you know what? Sickness, me and you, we are not friends from today. You have tried, this is the end. And you say, from today, I walk into my healing. Know your rights. In fact, Jesus said, healing is the children's bread. So if you are a child of God, that means healing is your bread. And God does not deny anyone who asks for bread. You must know your rights. Number three, you must separate yourselves from sin. That means that the purpose and ask God to help you. Maybe you are struggling with sin. Tell God, "God, I am struggling with this. Give me the strength." I tell you, there is no one who asks God and God leaves him alone. Sin has no power over you. You live righteously. And the Bible says you offer yourselves to God as a holy nation. That means you are no longer bread with yeast. You are unleavened bread. And this is what I've been saying. Number four, live according to the supernatural blessings available for the children of God. You must know that your life is supernatural. Expect things abnormal. For me, I always tell people, for me, my life is a testimony. Amen. I live in abnormalities, exceptions, exemptions. Amen. So when things are, I mean, they will look for issues, but they will just say, okay, for this one, it's a special case. I say, yeah, I know why, because I am the child of God.
Amen.
I am a child of God. Don't go with the rules. The rules are there, yes, but we live above them.
Amen.
We live above them. There are things that are supernatural. Can you imagine the Egyptians? They paid the Israelites in one day everything they had owned. They left wealthy. Even the house you will live as an exception. The job you will get, you will just realize. Of all the, even if it's your national, of all the nationals, it seems I'm actually favored.
Amen.
Of all the internationals, I actually have the best. Amen. Of all the organizations, there are people in others, but I am happy where I am. Why? Because you live in supernatural blessings. I tell you, when you expect supernatural blessings, it will happen.
Amen.
If you don't expect it, you will live normally. That's why the Ecclesiastes says, "I have seen a thing under the sun, that slaves are riding on horseback while princes are walking on foot. That means that in their time, slaves were driving the big cars, right? And princes, who are the children of the king, were walking on foot. If you don't know your right, you will walk on foot when you should be riding on a horseback. Live according to the supernatural blessings of God. That means that you budget not according to your salary. You dream according to the riches of heaven. You know, when you tithe, and we talked about tithing, is you're telling God that even what I have is too small. That's why I'm giving it to you. What I have is too small. That let me just work with this. Because this one, if you handle this, I am set. I'll encourage you. If you've not been doing it, start. And you don't need to do it here. You can do it in your home church. You can do it in another church where you feel comfortable. But what I will encourage you, do it. Do it because it is for the kingdom of God. Not to give to the poor, but give it to the work of God. There's a giving to the poor which you can give, but tithe is for the work of God. So find a church, find where you're comfortable to give, and give it to the house of God. Number five, as I said, we are children of a better covenant established on better promises. Say, I'm in a better covenant. Covenant is unbreakable. A covenant is unbreakable. That means that you're going to be blessed by covenant. You are healed by covenant. You are firstborn, first place by covenant. You live in the supernatural by covenant. And covenants, it is God who said, I will establish a new covenant. These things are available for you and me. Let's take a moment and say a prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you are life, that you communicate spirit and life to us, that today we come in a moment to remember that you are our Passover lamb, that by the blood of Jesus, any judgment passes over, any sickness passes over, any attacks of darkness passes over. We do not fall under the judgment of this world, but we are protected. We are covered by the blood of Jesus. We are transitioned from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Father, I thank you that your children gather in love. They gather in the place under your blood today. As we come to the place where we remember the shedding of your blood on the cross of Calvary, Father, we bring understanding, we bring revelation, we expect healings, we expect breakthroughs, we expect answers, we expect a transition today, that today we can say this becomes the beginning of our month, the beginning of our year. It becomes the first day that we walk into abundance, into supernatural overflow, into supernatural wealth. Indeed, those that have not seen answers, contracts, breakthrough, that they start to see that way that is open to them. I remove every blinding force from the eyes, everything that has been hindering the breakthrough of this church, the breakthrough of the believers, the breakthrough of your children. I remove it in the name of Jesus. I speak a word of blessing and healing to your people. And today, as we shall partake of your body and of the blood, may all glory and honor go back to you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.